Hey, you want that to go?
Now, some quick takeouts on stories we want you to stay on top of this week. And first up, Louise Story joins us, finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times, and right here in the studio. Great to see you again.
Good to see you.
So it's certainly not new that if you invest money, you want to make money,
yeah.
Right? And it's not really that new either that you would invest in organizations that have a particular sort of social responsible kind of approach to life on this planet. But the firm Nascens, a Swiss investment company called Nascens, yesterday announced that they were going to launch a new fund in January, an investment fund that's going to invest in companies that have more women on their boards of directors. First of all, what's the track record for this so-called socially responsible investing, and how's it likely to work here?
So here they're looking at the boards of directors, and they're seeing that there are not many women on many of them, but they have a bunch of research which they've cited that shows that there's a correlation between having a woman on your board of directors and having your company's stock do better. So they're not saying it's a cause, so we don't know if the women are causing that, but they're saying that they see a better track record.
And they're just saying the stock does better, not that the earnings of the company are better or that the performance of the company or sales of the company.
They also say return on equity, which is a financial measure that's tied to profit. And you know, often the stock moves because of profits, not always, but...
Now, a lot of people hearing this story will say Carly Fiorina, of Hewlett-Packard. That didn't work out. And then others will say, but hey, what about Xerox? Ursula over at Xerox is the head of Xerox and doing a fabulous
job.
And,
John, I mean, the problem is it's so hard to generalize based on these couple famous women, right? I mean, most women who are on boards of directors, you don't even hear about. In fact, you don't even hear about most boards of directors. Do you know who's on the board at Walt Disney World? You don't know. And so these are people, you don't know who they are precisely, but they do have a lot of influence over the companies. A lot of these banks we've been talking about in the financial crisis have done a lot of reform of their boards. In fact, one of my favorite remarks that's come out of the financial crisis was the Minister of Equality in Britain said, maybe if it was Lehman Sisters, we wouldn't have had the problem.
Really?
So there are people asserting that we need more women.
Easy to say.
Right.
So is this a boutique investment play, or is it actually solid economics that hopes to change the culture of corporate boards?
They're saying it's solid economics. They're citing studies by McKinsey and Catalyst, and they're saying that this really will give a better return. They've already raised $200 million. They hope to raise $2 billion. So they're saying it'll be a better return. They've got two former prime ministers on the board of the fund, the prime minister from Canada and the prime minister from New Zealand, and they have Tony Blair's wife on their board. So they've got some big backers here, and the idea is let's get more women in these boardrooms. Maybe they'll shake something up.
And if they get enough money in their fund, maybe some women will get the call.
That's true. They can push change.
Yes,
that's true.
Louise Story, finance reporter for The New York Times.
Thanks so much.
And now we'll go to sports with Takeaway Sports contributor Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen. Ibrahim, in football last night, the Philadelphia Eagles beat Washington 27-17, the nation's capital.
Let's move to Philly. Everything in Philly is wonderful.
Well, they were actually in D.C. when they played, so you can move to D.C.
The hapless Redskins. Their coaching controversies, their ownership controversies led to six sacks of their quarterback, Jason Campbell. They turned the ball over four times. They're proving that they're one of the most inept franchises in the NFL.
Wait, I'm from Detroit.
Yeah, you got some convincing to do, Celeste.
No, I would actually say that Detroit is improving every week, whereas the Redskins are not improving every week. So I would say that they're one of the most inept franchises.
You hear that, Detroit? Detroit is not the worst. So this is pretty much more about how bad the Redskins were and not whether or not the Eagles were.
I think the Eagles had to bounce back from their big loss at Oakland the week before. So I think the Eagles made a statement. So I think that they were in good shape, but I think it definitely is how bad the Redskins were.
Okay. So the NBA is going to kick off tonight. Clearly, there's a lot of very, very excited basketball fans, probably including you. What are we going to watch here?
So let me just give you a quick, brief rundown. In the Eastern Conference, you have the Celtics, and I think with the addition of Rasheed Wallace, they're the same team that they were when they won that championship. I'm really looking for them to come back roaring this year. The second, you have the Cavs with of course, LeBron James,
and
they had added Shaquille O'Neal. But look for Shaquille O'Neal. If he's not effective by February, look for them to try and unload him if he's not making something happen. Behind them, you have the Magic, Orlando Magic, who came in as the in the finals last year. They took away Hedo Turkoglu. They added Vince Carter. They're going to be the same type of team that they were last year, except they added some other players, so they're going to give some defensive help for the other team. So those are my top three in the Eastern Conference. In the Western Conference, of course, you have the Los Angeles Lakers. And they're starting five, the Fisher, Bryant, Artest, Paul Gasol, Andrew Bynum. They're dangerous, and they have Hall of Fame coach Phil Jackson. Coming up also is my favorite team with my favorite player, and not my favorite team personally, but my favorite player, Manu Ginobili, on the San Antonio Spurs. I love the Spurs, and I think they're going to do excellent this year. They're going to challenge the Lakers in seven in the Western Conference Finals. And then also you have the Denver Nuggets. If the Denver Nuggets don't make it to the championships this year and win, then their coach, George Karl, is going to get fired. You won't see him for 2011. And my pick is that this year, the championship is going to be the Lakers versus the Celtics, which looks a lot like 1980, but it's 2010 coming up. So I think that you're not going to see a big power shift in the NBA. You're going to see more of the same. And some of the other teams like the Bulls, Detroit. Look for Detroit, actually. And I'm saying this not just because I love Detroit, and so do you.
Yes.
But also look for Detroit, actually, to be a sleeper team in the East that could challenge the big powers going down the stretch.
It's tough against the West, though. It's all West.
It is all West. Yeah. Right there.
The Lakers are the team everyone loves to hate. That's the Ibrahim
Abdul. The Lakers are the Yankees of the NBA.
They are. It's true. Right. Takeaway sports contributor Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen.
So our last takeout is about credit cards. That discussion continues. We're continuing to get a great response after talking about why people and how people are living without them with Beth Kobliner yesterday.
There is a revolt going on. People are mad as hell, and they're not going to take it anymore when it comes to credit cards.
And millions of people are living without credit cards, so we heard a lot of stories from people who don't. Kelly in South Carolina is one.
I'm currently living without any credit cards and without a bank account. I've removed myself from the banking system just because of the outrageous overdraft fees and whatnot. I may reconsider entering again once the new law passes, hopefully, that would limit their ability to overdraft charge and the crazy fees and whatnot.
But some of us told you why you want to hang on to the plastic in your wallet, like James from Augusta, Georgia.
I have a credit card because I need it to make sure I take care of my bills every month because I cannot afford to overdraft my checking account. And at the end of the month, I make sure to pay off the credit card, but I certainly don't go shopping with the credit card.
Sandra in New York agrees. She emails us, "Why should I ever want to get rid of my credit cards? I pay my bill in full every month, so I have the advantage of the float. Plus, I get points that I can use for airline flights or whatever. If you don't carry a balance on your card, there's no downside."
But how do you deal with emergencies? We were asking you that question.
I generally have money in the bank for that kind of thing. Otherwise, I guess I would go to an older relative and ask.
Kind of the same story. Maybe talk to an older relative.
Older relative, National Bank. I got a call from Deborah from Mount Vernon.
My concern is that older relatives are not the bank. I'm not sure that older relatives ever are repaid for, except in love. But that doesn't put gas in the car.
You folks are talking to each other out there. Continue to do it at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org.